Here you go, shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. That's what I wanted you to hear. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, and that's a kind of a trick comment, he leads out all his own. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. All right. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. A stranger's voice is foreign. How many of you have been married in this room? If your mate calls you, male or female, you don't have to really ask them who's calling because you've spent enough time with them that you know that it's them on the phone, even if you haven't heard their voice for a while. Amen? They can be on vacation, but all of a sudden the phone rings. Whoops! I know who that is. Because everybody has a different voice. My son was across the ocean in Australia, and he would call at the strangest times. And I would not be awake, but all of a sudden I'd hear his voice. Believe me, I would wake up. Okay? My father-in-law would sit by the phone and he would call. In fact, I think he called us 6-7 times in 1 week when he had been gone for about 5 months. So we were in a hurry to hear his voice. Got it? We didn't pick up if it was a stranger's voice. Jesus uses this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, verse 10, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So that's the purpose of why he came. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Try that one on for size. Say, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he runs for his life. That's not in your Bible. He abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man who runs away, he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. 14 is very important. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Again, you notice it's a voice that's the connection. And there shall be one flock with one shepherd. How many days have we been talking about? And I've been trying to stress to you that the body of Christ is divided and splintered. And they're fighting each other, and they're arguing in each other. You don't need the enemy. You've got them in your own mouth when you start tearing down the church. Amen. Or the churches. It's not your job. The good shepherd would defend them. If they are not stealers and hirelings, they're going to be dedicated for the people to come to life and to stay in life. And he'll protect them with his own life. Amen? 16 again, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, meaning of this age or time. I must bring them also. Who is he talking about? Us. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for my own, of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father, etc. Now, I started to tease you about different voices. And how did you get to know your mother's voice? Or your father's voice? But they took care of you. If you had an ungodly father, you would run the other way. If you had a busy father who was maybe too busy, your picture of the Heavenly Father is going to be distorted. How many know there are selfish fathers around? How many know there are selfish mothers around? All right. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just giving you what happens to the child. So by the fruit, you'll know what kind of upbringing and what kind of parents that you had. Because if you're confused about your father's love for you, it's because maybe your background was confused. It could have been Babylonian, meaning full of confusion. My parents had a problem. And when it developed, it created a mountain of problems for me. And I'm not picking on my parents. But you see, they didn't know the Good Shepherd like they did get to know him when he delivered them. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, there's a day of deliverance assigned to each one. He said, there's some of these sheep that are not of this fold. What do you mean? They're going to go later and they're going to come and they're going to pick him up. See, the Good Shepherd, even if they fall into the garbage, he's going to go and what? Pick them up. And what is he going to do? Is he going to criticize them? Why? He loves them. He loves them enough to lay down his life for them. He's not about to start picking on them. I remember a season in my life where I would listen to the word coming from the pulpit, and sometimes I would want to run the other way. Now, if you think you know where I am, you don't know, because I visited many churches. But I would say, my God, how can these sheep survive? They're being henpecked. That's not male or female. Because I had a rooster that wanted to kill me when I was a kid. You guys laugh. I'm not kidding. He was about this high and I wasn't much higher. And if you ever got pecked by a rooster or a chicken, let me tell you, they know how to hurt and you would bleed. And I would get to the barn. Now, you got to remember, I left there when I was 8. So I had to be under that. I was about 5 or 6, I believe, when my father gave me the stick. The stick probably was a little bit bigger than this. Okay? And so my father said to me, because I would land at the barn, because I would like, they'd let me sleep. And they'd go to the barn and they'd start the chores. And I was old enough, I knew where they were. And I'd take myself and get myself a pair of pants and a shirt. And I'd run to the barn. Well, this rooster hated my guts. Come on. Do you ever have an animal that doesn't like you? And I would land in the, and the blood was running down both legs. Okay? So my father said to me, well, I'm tired of this and I can't be out there watching him, so you're going to have to defend yourself. Well, okay. If that's the way it is, that's what's going to happen. So he gave me a stick. It was probably a little longer than that. Probably about 2.5 feet. And a nice hard wood, you know, not soft stuff. And one day I would take the stick with me if I went from the barn to the house or from the house to the barn, and I left the stick either on the porch or at the barn door because I had to go by the hen house on my way by. Well, this one morning, the rooster came after me, and he didn't see that I had a stick, and he may have thought I couldn't hit, but I whacked him so hard, I killed the rooster. He didn't bother my legs anymore. My father said, okay. And so I got to the barn, and I had no blood on me, but he had a missing head. So he had to kill, you know, take care of it, and we had him for dinner on Sunday. Now you guys laugh.
You decapitated him?
Literally, I killed him. Dead. My father took care of the rest. Okay? Yes, we plucked him out. And let me tell you, we had an incredible rooster for dinner Sunday. We invited the neighborhood. And I celebrated the dead rooster. You guys laugh. Not funny being brought up on a barn, on a farm. What I'm trying to tell you is, if there was another kid that would come to visit, let me tell you, they wouldn't go to the barn because I wouldn't let them. Not when that rooster was alive. Because I knew what my legs would feel like when the blood was running down on both sides. Where did I learn to defend myself? Because my father gave me a stick. Matthew 18:18 says, I have given you all authority. Who did he give it to? He gave it to you and me. He's the good shepherd. That's your big stick. You don't have to put up with the lies and the thief. You can bind him. Your stick is stronger than that piece of wood. Got it? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Watch your words. Your words are going to create either a lousy stick or a deadly stick to the enemy. And the thief knows when you carry your stick correctly. And if you're on your way to the barn and that rooster starts coming over and you declare in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot do this. I am covered in the blood of the Lamb. If he tries to get close, what happens?
Whop.
Whop. That's right on. Why? Because that word will knock him out. That word will push him back. And you cannot expect to have somebody else do the homework for you all the time you're supposed to grow up. Yeah. There are times that your word is going to be effective. And your word is going to declare, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am not going to take on this sickness. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to take on this consistent accusations. Because God is interested in building a church, not destroying it. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the concept of the fruit and the people who work towards building a body of believers that will be one flock with one shepherd. One flock with one shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Here's your confirmation, Mary Jo. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade, and the Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So there's a trigger right there. Those who cannot hear you are not of the sheepfold. So there are times, don't waste your breath. Did you ever try to talk to somebody about the Lord and they're twisting the subject and they're making efforts to just push you away? Would you do me a favor? Shut up. Just don't say anymore. Let your example be something that they might at least at some point ask. But I'm trying to give you insight that the Holy Spirit is ever faithful to bring you to the fullness of light. He is interested in giving you so much more than you have ever understood. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures about the voice, and it may be helpful to you. John 12:28. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. John 12:29. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. The next one is John 10:4, which I already gave you. So I'm going to skip that one. I'm sorry. Acts 9:4. He fell to the ground, which is St. Paul, and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Revelations 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I could give you a lot more because there are plenty of others, but I think you've got enough to sustain the reality that yes, you have your own selfish voice that wants its way. How many know that sometimes you can get pretty selfish? Amen. And you'll see the fruit of that. The refrigerator, it talks almost all time, at any time. How many know the freezer talks pretty loud sometimes? It says ice cream. Yeah. How many have visions of ice cream once in a while? Chocolate cream pie. Amen? You understand what I'm doing? I'm trying to turn your body on so that you can hear your voice and recognize the visions you get. Oh, lemon meringue pie. I have visions of it all the time. Why? Because that was one of my wife's favorite desserts. She would make the best lemon meringue pie. And the last time she tried, she had such a hard time. She says, Kim, I don't know if I can make lemon meringue pie anymore. And I says, oh, honey, I think I'll divorce you. Honest to God, she'd do double the amount of pudding. She'd add extra lemon juice, okay, the real lemon juice to it. So the pie would be about yay thick, and then the meringue on top would be like so. So she would cut the pie, and that's what we had. And, of course, we had a few special members of the family who would require this at least 2 or 3 times a year, so I made out pretty good. You laugh, but it's the truth. I'm not lying to you. What am I saying? I'm saying that if anybody said, you know, if Auntie Irene was going to make a lemon meringue pie, we'd show up. I'm telling you the Good Shepherd's to one that you should hear coming up the road, ready to pick you up when you fall apart. Ready to heal you when you have a difficult time. And use the stick of the word. Look at your neighbor. Say, get a big stick. Declare it loud and clear. And knock out that rooster. Kill him dead. Have him for Sunday lunch. Amen. Oh, I'm teasing you on the last part. But you got the point. The lying spirits are going to be your roosters. They can't stand your guts. They want to steal from you. They want to steal your joy, your health, whatever you've got available. Now you have one more job to do. Share some hugs with each other. God bless.